Isn't it just lovely to come together and worship like this? I'm going to make a request, please. I realized earlier the sun was shining right here. And the ushers closed and I figured Russia couldn't handle the sun. But I've just returned from Jamaica, 2 weeks in the sunshine. And so I'm going to ask, please, if I could get a little bit of British sunshine, I'll take it. I have no problems with it. I'll take it. Give me some vitamin D. Amen. That's it. Fantastic. Thank you, brother. It's great to be together. So many things have happened since I last preached to the church. And I just want to take this time to lift up Mark and all the guys who taught us in the prayer series. I think you did a phenomenal job. And so, church, let us acknowledge the brothers for the hard work they did. Thank you so much for feeding us. And as you know, another series is coming up very, very soon. It's a series on the book of Acts. And that series, I'd say let's pay close attention to things in Acts, because in the month of September, we're going to be having a Bible Bowl or a big Bible quiz. And so, you know, we'll figure teams and all of that. So make sure you know what the book of Acts is all about. Before we go ahead, let me just say a quick word of prayer. Dearest Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you so much, God, that we have air to breathe, that we're alive, that most of us are well, and even those of us who are not well, we thank you, God, that we're alive and that we're with you. I pray, righteous Father, that your Holy Spirit will be with me at this time. I beg that the words that come from my mouth will not be of my own, but may you speak through me to all of us. May our hearts be moved, and may we make decisions, Heavenly Father, to do the things that are right in your eyes, to do the things that please you. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who made all of this possible. May we always keep our eyes fixed on him, because he still is and will always be the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we know, God, that without faith it is impossible to please you. We will not make it to heaven. Be with us now, I pray. Be with those who are not here for one reason or another. Comfort them, Father. Comfort the weak. Those who are weak spiritually, comfort the weak. Those who are weak physically, comfort the weak. May we reach out to our brothers and our sisters always and throw our arms around each other, because we're a family. Thank you for Jesus, and it is in his name that I pray. Amen. 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 Turn with me, please, to the book of John. And I have what I think is a simple lesson and three simple points that will hopefully touch everybody in the audience this morning. In the book of John, chapter 10, reading verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech. But they did not understand what he was telling them. I mean, I can just imagine, you know, if I have one wish, it is being there as Jesus walked with his disciples and just watching him teaching them. And I can imagine him telling them this, and they're sitting there staring in blank and saying, "What on earth is he talking about? You know, what gate?" And I thought to myself, what might, if I were there, what would I be thinking? I probably would be managing, is it a metal gate? Is it a wooden gate? Is it what shape gate? I can understand it being a little confusing for the guys. And Jesus just, okay, all right. Verse 7. Therefore Jesus said again, and so he's going to tell them the same thing again, but in another way, so hopefully they'll get it. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." And I can imagine at this point the guys were like, "Oh, okay. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And I can imagine a light dawning in all their heads and saying, "Ah, so that's what it is. Jesus is talking about life in him. And the only way to acquire this life is to go through Jesus, who is the gate." Today's lesson, the title, I just call it Life's Journey. And here Jesus is talking about having life in its fullest form. Now, the only way to experience this kind of life is to come through Jesus. But my first point is, it's not really a point. I have three stages, but I'll say points since we're more familiar with points. But the first stage of life that I want to look at is the stage when you're young. In the book of Ecclesiastes, turn there please. In chapter 12 and verse 1. It says in verse 1, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong man stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless." Now, I just want to talk a little bit to the young. And it's such a pleasure to have our teams with us. Let me tell you, wherever I go, I talk about you. As in Jamaica, I told the church about you. You know, I go to meetings, wherever I go. You know, you are such a joy to have among us who are getting a little older. You know, you're young, you're fresh, you're full of energy. You know, you remind us of who we used to be, and we take great joy in that because, you know, you're coming right after us to keep us energized. Praise God. But I do want to say a few things to you because, you know, some of you have embraced the amazing task of making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And I say to you, embrace it with everything you have and never let it go. Now, there are other ones of you who, you know, you ought to embrace it, but you're not sure at what point you should. And, you know, I pray that God will make it clear. And at the appointed time, you will make your own decision as to when you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And I pray to God that you look to those who have done it and you've seen the difference in their lives and you want to imitate what you see in them. But I tell you, you are our joy and our crown. But I say to the young, remember your Maker whilst you're young. While you're young and fresh, and do not carry on your young shoulders the care of this world, remember your Maker. While you live at home, and you never give a thought about the rent or the mortgage, remember your Maker. You know, while you come home from college or school and there's a hot, tasty meal prepared and you go in and you eat your fill, or you get up in the morning and breakfast is ready and you just have a great time, you know, what a great life. Remember your Maker. Remember Him. Before you get to the stage in life when you start to think about different experiences, you know, relationships and intimate relationships and the joy and fulfillment that all those bring, but also the challenges and the distractions, remember your Maker. Remember God. You know, you're at the perfect place to embrace a relationship with God. You know, you're what they would call virgin territory. Untouched, unspoiled. You haven't seen life. Life hasn't messed around with you yet. Perfect. You're in the perfect place to embark on life with God by your side. Remember Him. You know, in chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, and I'm reading here from a man who was the wisest man in his time. And he said in chapter 11 and verse 7, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. Let me tell you, it is so true. I got up this morning, and I saw sunshine, and I walked around the house, and I opened all the curtains. And I say, sun! And my family know when the sun is shining. Because everywhere is open. I mean, yesterday morning, there was sunshine. And I opened all the curtains. I said, sunshine! Boys, let's go outside. And then, I don't know what happened. It just turned gray. And it started to rain. And as the light faded, so was my enthusiasm for being outside. I thought, whoa, what's this? Man, you know, I remember, just a few weeks back when I was in Jamaica, I'd get up in the mornings, and my father-in-law, you know, he would stand on the veranda, and he'd look at me and shake his head and smile. I would walk out in the yard, and I'd say, whoa, not a cloud in the sky. Daddy, I haven't seen this in a long time. And he's like, yes, enjoy it. But it is true. Light is sweet. And it pleases the eyes to see the sun. Verse 8. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Have fun. Have a great time. But let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. In other words, whatever you do, you will be held accountable. So Solomon is saying, don't have fun. Have a lot of fun. But have good fun. Where am I? Verse 10. Right, I'm going to verse 10. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off all the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. And all Solomon is saying here is, whatever you do, take care as you do it. Remember God as you do it. Remember, everything will be put before God and you'll be brought to account. You know, there are those who say, they're young. It doesn't matter what they do. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but I've heard that. It really doesn't matter what they do. But that's not really true. Because in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, help us to understand the right things we need to do. Let us understand life in the proper context of who you are, God, and who we are and what we ought to be doing. And don't think it doesn't matter what you do. Because as youngsters, there are things you may do that will be irreversible for as long as you live. And you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're doing things now, but when you're older, you're really not able to enjoy life the way you should because things got muddled when you were younger. So be guided by the Word of God. Be guided by those of us around you who have already found God. And have a great life. But remember your Maker. Second stage. Or second point, however you want to put it. This is the midlife stage. And I realize I fall in this stage. And I've done a little bit of a work on midlife and what midlife means. And what the world tends to do, the world tends to call this a crisis stage. And that's where this, you know, I've often heard of midlife crisis. I have no idea exactly what it means. You know, I've never seen any structured work on what it means, where it came from. And so I thought to myself, let me have a little look at what the professionals say about this. And it says in, before I give you what the professionals say, you know what Solomon said in chapter 12 and verse, he was saying, you know, remember the Lord in your youth. And then he said, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And apparently, we get to a stage, according to the experts, and this stage is usually between the age of 40 and 60. And I think there are a few of us between the ages of 40 and 60. Some of us are deep into this stage. And so you have experienced a lot of the midlife stage. You may have been through a few crises. Some of us have just gotten to the stage, and you're trying to figure out what this stage really means. And some of you are bearing down fast on that stage. And you're thinking, man, what's going on? But I'll read very, very quickly something for you. Written by Kathy Mayer. And what she's trying to define here is what really is midlife crisis. A midlife crisis is experienced between the ages of 40 and 60. It was first identified by a psychologist, Carl Jung, and is a normal part of the maturing process. So apparently it is normal. So if you're in this stage in life, and if you experience a crisis, apparently it is normal. Hey, it is life. Most people will experience some form of emotional transition during that time of life. A transition that might cause you to take stock in where you are in life and make some needed adjustments to the way you live your life. Most seem to come through the process smoothly without making major changes. And I pray to God I go through it smoothly without any major changes. For some, however, midlife crisis is more complicated. It can be an uncomfortable time emotionally, which can lead to depression and the need for physiotherapy. Those who have a hard time with this transitional stage might experience a range of feelings, such as unhappiness, boredom, feeling the need for adventure and change, questioning choices they've made in their lives and the validity of decisions they made years before, confusion about who they are and where they're going, anger at their spouse and blame for feeling tied down, unable to make decisions about where they want to go with their lives, having a desire for a new and passionate intimate relationship. Those are somebody, apparently, I mean, these are some of the things apparently that you may experience between 40 and 60. I pray you don't experience them before. It also says that as you go through the crisis, or the crisis may be brought on by debt, significant loss, you've lost a loved one, feeling inadequate, especially if, you know, for years you've been a conflict avoider, and so people who you're close to, like your spouse, you've not dealt with issues in the relationship, and so you get to a point where you begin to feel inadequate. You know, those are, apparently are some of the things that midlife crisis brings on. Now, this may be true, it may not be true. But I know I've heard a lot about this midlife crisis, and you're getting to a point in your life when you're thinking, you know, should I change my career? Should I continue my career? Should I move to this place? Should I move to that place? You know, the kids are coming along. Which school are they going to go to? Am I earning enough money? Do I need to earn more money? A barrage of things can happen. Now, what I'd love to advise, because I looked at this and I thought to myself, my God, if this is what is awaiting me, how am I going to deal with it? Because it sounds like a lot of worrying going on. You know, how am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to take care of my wife? And so I turned to the gospel of Luke. Because there is a solution to every situation in the Bible. That's what I think. And for me, the ultimate goal is to make it to heaven. And so it doesn't matter if there's a little crisis here now or later. Once I make it to heaven, praise God. So in Luke chapter 12 and verse 22, for those of us who may be in this phase and either experiencing crisis or think you may experience crisis, let me just remind you of something. Let me just calm your heart with something. Therefore, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies of the field. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide a purse for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And I just want to say this to us who are in this middle stage. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I think that's all we need to do, and leave the rest to God. And finally, and very, very quickly, the last stage, stage three, or to the old. And you know, Aunt Kathy, I'm looking forward to the day when I get to your stage, when I'll have grandchildren, and I can tell them about the church and how life has been, and hopefully guide them. But if we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, And those of us who are a little younger, you know, I'll say this to you, make sure you get time with those who are older. I used to love getting time with my grandfather. I've learned so many things by just listening to him talking about life. But in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 3, it says, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong man stoop, when the grinders cease because they're few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. You know, this is a phase where, you know, you've been through life, you've been through, you've seen it all. And you're probably thinking about life as it is now, and how many more years God may bless you with. And you know, it can be a phase where you're experiencing a little bit more aches and pain. You know, some people experience more loneliness because as you get older, your core friendship people, you know, people are passing away. And so, you know, my father-in-law, we talk at least once a week. And I kid you not, he goes to 2-3 funerals per month. And so we talk and say, oh, I'm going to so-and-so funeral, or I'm going to so-and-so funeral. And it almost appears as though, you know, for us in the middle phase, you know, or we meet our friends at weddings, and, you know, we have a great time. You know, when you get older, it's almost as though, you know, from my father-in-law, he catches up with his friends at funerals. Because they're older, and, you know, life is going on. And sometimes you can wonder, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what is in all of this for me? Where is God taking me? What will God do? I want to encourage you with this. Isaiah 46. In Isaiah 46 and verse 3, God says to his people, listen to me, O house of Jacob. All you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived, and have carried since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. You know, God is with you. God will take care of you. God is always there with you. And so in concluding, to the young, enjoy life. It is exciting to be young. The whole world is ahead of you. But do not let the excitement of youth rob you of your closeness to your God. You know, the way to do this is to focus on eternal values rather than passing pleasures. To us in the midlife, do not worry. Let us store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where they will be kept safe. And to the old, God will take care of you. And to God be the glory. Amen.